Podcasting Morning Chat. Today is Thursday, April 11th, 2024. And today we have a special guest, Carrie Monk, who will be sharing the art of storytelling. Really looking forward to this. So if you don't mind, if you're listening live on Clubhouse, please hit the share button bottom left-hand side of the screen and share it however Clubhouse lets you. And if you're a podcaster, please share this with a fellow podcaster. And then if you don't mind, give us just about 2 minutes and we'll get things rolling. Thanks for being here. Podcasting Morning Chat. I am your host, Mark Ronick, and today we are going to dig in to the art of storytelling. A while back, we had Dominic share his knowledge, share his wisdom, share his experience on storytelling and how he puts on an award-winning podcast. Today, we're going to chat with Carrie Monk, who I met at PodFest this past January, and I will get into more with Carrie in just a minute. I'll give you a little bit of his background, and no, I won't break my own rules about intros. If you listen this week, I believe as early as this week, we've talked about that. Yeah, maybe as early as yesterday. The days get a little blended for me sometimes. So before we dive in, just to, as I like to say, break the ice, I want to start with an icebreaker question. We probably won't go through every moderator because I've got a lot to talk about with Carrie. We'll start with Nick on this subject of storytelling. Nick, if you were to teach someone, or if you have received a piece of advice along your tenure as a podcaster, what's one thing about storytelling in podcasting that you could share with us today? One piece of advice around storytelling.
Good morning. The one thing that I would say, and this has helped me across the board with pretty much every piece of content that I ever create, and that is to start with the transformation or the end result in mind. Oftentimes it can be, at least this is how I always was, like just kind of jumping in. And it's like that Michael Scott quote, like sometimes I just start a sentence and I don't really know where I'm going with it. I just hope I find it along the way. It's not a great way to create content. So being able to know where you're heading can help every other step preceding that.
Yeah, I feel like that's almost life advice too, right? It's like know the end result and then work toward that. Thank you, Nick. I'm going to keep things moving because I want to make sure we have plenty of time for our interview with Carrie. Sid, good morning. Same question to you. Maybe this is a piece of advice you've learned. Maybe it's a piece of advice you share with others. Share one thing about storytelling in podcasting, one piece of advice that you could share with us today. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. I don't listen to a lot of, that I know of, storytelling podcasts like Dominic's, right? But the one thing that came to mind when I heard you ask this question, Mark, was to, and I'll frame it in the word way of trying to sell something or get people to believe in whatever it is you believe in or come to your side of the fence, however you want to frame it, right? Is to sell your product without selling your product, right? So don't pitch what it is that you're trying to get someone to buy, but talk about what it is, what it does, why it, the journey of that particular thing, right? Kind of like what Nick said, start with the end in mind, but you can sell your product without selling your product, if that makes sense.
It does. And something Sid said that I think we will address early on here with Carrie. Sid mentioned he doesn't listen to a lot of storytelling podcasts, right? And he said he has listened to Dominic's, but he doesn't listen to a lot of storytelling podcasts. And I think Carrie will agree with me when I say, I think a quote unquote good podcast is one that is always storytelling. It doesn't have, even with a guest, it's all about the storytelling. So even though it may not be a traditional style where it's narration, and if you're like Dominic, adding sound treatment and all that good stuff, that doesn't necessarily mean that's the only kind of storytelling. So I want to make sure we address that today as well. And you know what? Amanda Sharp, Alex, Dominic, please forgive me. We're going to skip for now because I want to get to Carrie. And also, if you are listening live, whether you're in the audience or on stage, come on up if you're in the audience. And feel free to be a part of this conversation. This is the beauty of doing this live. This is the beauty of doing this on Clubhouse. It doesn't have to be just me and Carrie having this conversation and asking the questions. You can come up and ask your questions too. So with that, hi, Carrie. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
I wanted to tell everybody a little bit about, well, first, Carrie and I met, I've shared this over the course of this past week, we met at PodFest, this past one in January, got to know him through Stacy. He's friends with Stacy, he does some work with Stacy, and we instantly clicked. Just felt very familiar. If you've ever had those kinds of connections with somebody, when you meet them for the first time, you feel like you've known them for a while, even though you haven't. That was how I felt, and I think Carrie has told me this before. I think he felt the same way. And one of the cool things I learned about him is that he's helped literally hundreds of brands, and brands that you know well, to tell their powerful stories, to build that awareness, to make more money, to have that competitive differentiation that's combined with acting, with creative writing. And now Carrie's a coach. He teaches people these skills of storytelling to business owners, to podcasters and creatives. So I think the best place I'd like to start, Carrie, like I said, I met you at PodFest and you're not a podcaster, which I would say that would really surprise me in some circumstances. But then on other circumstances, I brought a buddy of mine to Podcast Movement, and he has no podcast experience other than maybe doing one or two interviews. So still, I'm a little surprised. What's your story? What drew you, other than Stacy, what drew you to PodFest? Why did you feel it was important for you to be there?
It's a good question, because I got that a lot when I was there. It was funny. Yeah. I really came to go meet and learn about entrepreneurs and creatives. Because what I came to understand is that podcasters were creatives that were kind of like actors and writers and producers on their own with limited resources. Someone that were very passionate about their podcast for just the podcast themselves. And also some were doing it as an extension of their business. And also, Mark, when I went there, I'm out of corporate now. I didn't really know what my business was going to be. And it formulated at PodFest. not just through the sessions, but literally in between meeting a lot of the podcasters. And obviously, you know, you said besides Stacey's my business coach, and she said, please go. So there's the power of just listening.
So that's interesting. So you kind of went there just on a, not a whim, but you went there with no expectations. And it was there that it formulated. Was there a moment? Was there something or someone that said something to you that you were like, okay, yeah, now I know why I'm here. Now I know what I'm going to do with my business.
So there are two things. One is being around all these people that were really creative and trying to find a way, a lot of them, to generate money without being back in corporate, and also just having the passion for their own storytelling, whether it's themselves or whether it's with a guest. So listening to that, and then me having my storytelling hat on going, oh, there's a couple of key pieces, like an emotional arc and other things that are that are missing when, you know, when I'm talking to people. And two, it was literally me almost just like saying, I that's it. I don't even know if I have a business that I can do. And then a couple of people coming up to me when I said that and said, you have your own story. You can do things because of your background and your experience, just like everyone else can, that is different than other people. So don't give up. You can be an entrepreneur. And that was just amazing to walk with. I mean, it blew my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. There is something special about these conferences and the passion of all these different creators and their encouragement along the way. That's one of the things I love most about going to these conferences and looking forward to our conference, Empowered Podcasting, where I feel like we're going to have a lot of that bonding and a lot of that advice and empowerment. So yeah, I'm excited. And let's get into this storytelling, and you know, because you've managed to make a career out of it. Even before you started this business, storytelling really sounds like it was your career. And I want you to share what's, did something kick it off? Like what kicked off that passion for you?
Okay. So I kind of got kicked in the ass when I was young, or what I perceived got kicked in the ass. So, and I don't know if people can identify with this being very at a young age and having something happen to them, but when I was four, and I'll never forget it, I was four and I was like loving life, and I'm standing in the living room and my parents kneel down and they're like, Carrie, guess what? I'm taking mom to the hospital, and when we come back, you're going to have a baby girl. I mean, you're a baby sister and you're going to be a brother. That's what they said with excitement. But what I felt when what I heard was, oh, am I going to get attention? How are they going to love me when there's someone else coming to this house? Wait, babies require a lot of work, you know? And I was finally like mastering, you know, I finally had my position in the household as a four-year-old. Like, what am I going to do differently? I'm going to have to do something differently. I mean, I'm going to really have to do something. And it can't just be drawing negative attention. Okay, I'm going to be funny. I'm going to use humor. I'm not quite sure how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to be funny. I'm going to have to maybe even do really well in my in school, whatever that meant. I might have to come home and tell a story, which I don't even know is a story, but talk about school in a way. I might have to, if I have their only minute or two of attention, I'm going to have to draw them in, and I'm going to have to like try to keep it going. So that is where I didn't even realize. But I realized I needed to be a storyteller. So that's from an early age. I don't know. I imagine people can identify with this. And just as an aside, about 6 years ago, I went to the New Yorker Film Festival because I really loved Paul Rudd as an actor. And I identified with him in a lot of ways. And on the stage, he was asked, when did you decide that you wanted to be an actor? And he literally said, when I was 4 years old, I was told that I was going to have a sibling. And then that was the moment I realized that I wanted to be an actor. I actually had a chance to talk to him afterwards, which is interesting. Then what I learned, okay, and I just want to talk about this quote. So I think we've all heard a version of Maya Angelou's quote, which is, I learned that people forget what you said, they'll forget what you did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. And I heard that in different versions of my life. And when I was in, you know, I always loved TV and film, and I actually loved commercials. Now we try to avoid commercials, but at that time when I was younger, I loved commercials. And what I learned is like, there's something going on here in this commercial that's making me want to buy this product, and I don't even need it. So there's a psychology behind it. There's a framework. Why am I compelled to keep watching the same TV show or the same or this film over and over? There's something about it that is compelling to me. And then obviously years later, and after graduating from college, when I went into sales and marketing at companies like Discovery, which had 10 different websites and WebMD and Amazon. And so I got trained in sales and marketing. I got trained in storytelling. But to even get in the door at these companies, I had to do a form of storytelling. And so what I realized is that storytelling is so powerful that regardless of the size of the company, because I worked at some startups that were really, really small, by no rights should be getting any revenue from brands, but we did. It was in the power of telling a story that drew on emotions and that people purchased and made decisions on emotions, regardless of your size.
Hmm. So I hopefully we'll have some time to get into some of those smaller brands. And like you said, they had no business, quote unquote, getting those big deals, yet you managed to help them do that. So we will get into that. And I do want to understand more of those techniques that helped you do those kinds of things, right? And where we were talking with Sid a little while ago, and as I said, Sid pointed out that he doesn't listen to a lot of storytelling podcasts. And I would argue that all podcasts theoretically are storytelling, even interview format. So can you share some techniques that us as podcasters can adopt from this playbook of yours that you used to help leading brands?
Yeah. And this will also tie into a little bit what Nicholas said and what Sid said. So first off, and especially working at Discovery, and I think you mentioned this, but I've been taking acting lessons for over a year now. I'm going into my second year of acting improv, scene work. I've been writing since 2008. I have a web series I'm going to launch. I'm working with co-actors, raising funds, all that stuff. Here's what I walked away with, and I think it ties into what some of the things that I heard at PodFest, which is you are a storyteller, whether it's yourself and whether you have guests. And I've listened to Dominic's podcast, and it's incredible how he draws us out of his guests. And he goes out a little bit, but you're a writer, you're an actor, and you're a producer. So what does that mean? You have the opportunity to write some talking points about what you're going to say. And as an actor, you perform them, and you might hear some of the energy in my voice. And part of that acting is what I learned. I've probably taken like 150 breaths, mini breaths, but you just haven't heard them. It's not one run-on breath. So you're an actor and you get to perform with that. And if you have a host, you're co-acting, and you're a producer, you're producing something that's creative, right? Which also means that as a producer, you have the opportunity, we'll go into this a little bit more, to do pre-production work, which is definitively having a conversation with your host and guiding them. Two, there's a simple framework and an advanced framework for telling a story. I would say three, it's that, you know, just like podcasters, and you don't need a lot of resources, brands are looking to differentiate themselves. you know, they're looking to sell themselves, kind of like what Sid said. Yes, they are looking to sell their product and service. In some cases, you'll watch a TV show or a commercial. You watch a commercial and you don't even know what it's really for until, you know, towards the end. And so if you think like an entrepreneur or a podcaster and you follow what some of these brands do, which we can go through the framework, it's really important. The other thing that's really important, this is the hard work. When I was at Discovery, we could have had one cable station, right? It could just been Discovery. We had eight. We had Animal Planet. We had ID to serve different audiences. We had different content. We had different themes. But one of the things that we did, and even when I was on the online side where I didn't have any TV programming content, we measured engagement. So my question for, or I think for a lot of the podcasters here is, when you have your podcast, can you find out when people are dropping off? Because if people are dropping off, or the majority of everyone's dropping off after 2 to 4 minutes, and your podcast is an hour, then that's great. But then that's really for you. It's not really serving the audience. I mean, it's serving the audience, but there might be a way to take some of the pressure off yourself and do something shorter, unless it's just your true love. Because one of the things I heard at PodFest was people would say, oh my God, I'm like, what's going on? They're like, I have 20 more episodes to do this season. And I said, well, you know, in traditional broadcasting, they did 27 episodes, but in Netflix and Apple, there's 10. What if you shorten your season and chose your guests based on that season or came up with a theme for that season? And they're like, oh, I never thought of that. That takes pressure off of me. Like, yeah. So if you think like a producer, you do these things. But TV shows also not only measure engagement, they change their format. And it's really hard to do. But not all but if you watch a TV show, they'll change the format. They change the way that there's their storytelling. They change their beginning, their ending, their middle. They'll change it because they're serving the audience. I'll stop there.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you. And definitely, you shared a few things in there that I know we talk a lot about that engagement piece and knowing and understanding where you might be losing your audience. And I think storytelling can really help you. Once you can identify where they're dropping off, you can then learn something about your storytelling, right? Maybe there's something that you're doing that is losing them, and you at that particular time, that particular spot in your show, and you can adjust accordingly. I appreciate that. I want to pause because I do want to get into that framework you talked about and some of the other things you just talked about. And I saw a few hands come up, so I want to take a minute to see or hear some of these questions. So Nick, I think I saw your hand first. Did you have a question for Carrie?
Yeah, maybe this will end up tying into some of the framework stuff. But I mean, Carrie kicked it off right away. You may have caught it, you may not have caught it, but he kicked it off right away with a story. And I think better understanding, like, if we have a concept for the podcast episode, how do you go from that concept? Like, you have the idea and then being able to weave in your stories. It's been something that's like eluded me because I know storytelling fits and sharing your stories, especially in a podcast environment, works really well. But I've always had trouble like weaving it into the episode organically. Whereas Carrie obviously was pretty seamless when he came in with it. It didn't seem like, oh, here, let me tell you a story. Once upon a time, like it flows really well with the conversation.
So your question then, well, I'm trying to make sure, was it a question or a statement really, Nick?
Like a combination of both. Like I recognize it in shows, but I don't know how to do it. So my question is how.
Mark, I think if I go into the simple framework, then we can build upon
Sure. That sounds okay. Good.
So Nick, thank you for asking that question. I really want to get to the framework. And yes, obviously I'm doing what I'm talking about, right? Without making it seem seamless, right? Because we've been doing it for so many years. And you had talked about starting with the end in mind, which is definitively important. It always starts with an idea, right? So it starts with an idea and then maybe a second idea and a third idea. Here's a very simple framework. It's the same framework that you use when you want to land a job. It's the same framework when you want to tell a story. So it's you might have heard this, but it's like the acronym is SAR, Situation, Action, Result, or Challenge, Action, Result. So this might be two minutes long because if I want to get to this, but like, so in 2011, 2012, Dyson, this incredible vacuum cleaning company, and now into more products, changed the marketplace. All right. People were now, first of all, they attracted a huge audience with their powerful vacuums that were fashionable. We not only had traditionally moms buying vacuums, but we had single men buying vacuums. We had women in college, 18 plus. We had everyone's buying vacuums, and they were displaying them in their homes. So whatever story they did tell was pretty good. But at the same time, we had this huge splurge where people were buying products online and not just going to retail or doing a combination of both. And Dyson had never done an online video, an online story online. They've done it on TV. They had, you know, stuff they were doing, packaging that they were doing in retail, but never online. So that sets up the challenge, right? And yet people are buying. At that point, it was about 50% or like 40% of their sales were coming from at least some version of online. So now we go into the action part. Enter me, right? So And this is not to be self-touting. It's really to tell you as a podcaster how you can do something. So I actually had by no rights calling on the brand Dyson or their media agency. Here's the reason why. I worked just like podcasters. I worked at Discovery, which is a huge name. That's an advantage, right? But on the online side, Nick, we had no video. We were not allowed to use our TV programming video. We had a very small audience. It was niche. And I don't even know. I just had like the belief in myself. Somehow I got myself into the media agency. And I somehow listened to everything and asked a lot of questions. And they said, we need to come up. We need to align ourselves with someone that's credible and create a branded entertainment story. Can we tie into your Bigfoot series on TV, or can we tie into them? I'm like, I don't think Bigfoot could be using a Dyson. And we actually had this conversation for many months. I'm like, and I'm not on the TV side. I'm like, but we have a studio and we can create, we can find some people and we can have them use the Dyson vacuum cleaner. And so we came back with some ideas and they bought a series called It's Me or the Mess. And what we did is we found couples that were having problems. One was married, two were single, you know, all different genders, different races. And what was keeping them apart was the messiness of the house. And so in that story, we interviewed the person and then we got permission to have hidden cameras. And then the person, we would see for someone come with the Dyson vacuum cleaner. Then people would walk in and see that everything was clean. They couldn't find their stuff because everything was organized and they were a little bit disheveled. They sat down on the couch and they talked about what that felt like. And then we went back in 2 weeks later to see if they were still together. Two couples stayed, one couple split. So it was very compelling and emotional. And what did this do? It showed that Dyson has the ability to keep relationships together or force change, or not that it forces people to split apart, but that keeping a sense of cleanliness and household and orderliness is so important. And the result was pretty phenomenal. So first off, I can honestly say, we don't know if we drove any offline sales. We know that the tagging definitely contributed to some online sales, but a lot of them took place on Amazon, which is where I went to go work afterwards. But Amazon doesn't share its data. So we really couldn't say it drove X numbers of online sales. But what I could say is that 2 to 4 minutes of a video, we had 75% of the audience listening to the end. And we broke it down in quadrants. What percentage listened to 25%, 50, 75? And that was huge enough for them. And the other thing we did is we gave them the ability to take this video and run it across any other media that they were doing online. So there's some takeaways here. We can go into some of them at the end. We can talk about some of them now. But since I want to keep you to the end of the podcast and engage, I'll share some of them at the end. But that's a simple framework to use. Situation, action, result. And sometimes there's also emotion. There's lessons learned. There's, you know, a lot to that. And there's the framing up of the challenge. And so when I framed up that challenge, I wanted to frame it up where, okay, what's going to happen? What's at stake? Well, what's at stake is people were purchasing sales online and Dyson needed to do something online. That's what's at stake. You know, so there were stakes in there.
Thanks, Kerry. Yeah. And Nick, does that help? And be honest, right? Like, does it help? Yes or no? And if you have a situation, a particular thing, that a piece of content that you want to create and you're having trouble telling that story, by all means, like, bring it. Maybe we can collaborate here and try to work on what's that story you're trying to tell. But was that helpful, Nick?
Yeah, that's definitely helpful. I don't have like a piece of content in mind. I just think oftentimes it's hard with educational content to think about the story because you're thinking about the result, but really the story needs to weave into the result, kind of thing. That was really good. I appreciate that, Gary.
Nick, one thing to help you with, and I learned this in writing, I used to start with the beginning of a great script and the end of a great script. And then I get stuck in the middle. And where things fall apart, either in a podcast or a TV show or a film, or the reason why you say, I'm not going to complete the series or I'm not going to watch some episodes, they fall apart in the middle. It's really the middle. You can change the ending a little bit. You know, you can change the beginning a little bit. It's really that meat that's in the middle. It's really coming up with conflict, result, conflict, result. And sometimes you don't answer all the conflict. And I do want to do a call out to Dominic. I've listened to Dominic's podcast, and I've also seen how he's changed it. And to the point where it's not just one person telling a story on how it impacts them, you know, coming through recovery. It's how it impacts the family. It's how it impacts the caregiver. And so, and I know that change is probably made for a very specific reason, but that's another way of like changing your format to make your story more compelling. But in the middle, it's drawing out lessons and it's drawing out emotions and it's keeping people engaged.
Thanks, Kerry. And I want to actually keep this going for a second because Nick said something that really struck a chord with me. It's the idea of how do I tell a story when my podcast is more educational, right? Whether it's a business podcast where you're interviewing entrepreneurs and teaching maybe very specific things about entrepreneurial life, or maybe it's how to do a podcast, right? But I think the challenge that a lot of podcasters have is when we're doing that type of format, how do we tell a compelling story if it's really kind of like, here are the step-by-step instructions to do X?
Okay, let's workshop this for a couple minutes. Nicholas, I'm not familiar with your podcast. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Right now, the podcast that I'm running is all AI news generated. But the content that I create on the YouTube channel, a lot of that is like showing podcasters how to use AI to improve their processes, get things done faster, automation, that kind of stuff.
So it's telling a story, or it's basically, it's sharing tips, it's sharing strategies on how they can use AI and technology and technologies, right?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a way, and do you, it's a solo podcast, right?
Yes, for the most
solo
part,
content.
Okay. Yeah. So I would say, first off, if you think of yourself as, it's educational, but it's entertainment. It somewhat could be self-entertainment oriented. It's informational. In information, there are like lessons learned and also emotion. There could be some emotions. So I'm just wondering, is there a way to talk about or present an example of how you or a client or someone used a piece of technology or used a piece of AI and what that did for them in terms of saving time, or how that changed how they thought, or how that changed how they tell what kind of change that brought about? Was there any kind of, is that resonating? Is there any emotional journey that you can take somebody through that can change that up?
Yeah, there definitely is. I mean, there's countless stories and like examples, I guess, that could be pulled from. I think the area that I struggle with is the balance of giving the information, like giving the people the information they want. Say it's like a step-by-step on how to use ChatGPT to write a script or something like that. Giving people that information, that step by step, without losing them in the story, I think is where I've typically run into issues. It almost seems like a tangent as opposed to like complementing the video.
I think the first thing that's in mind is like, I learned ChatGPT, right? And so there was a step by step to learn ChatGPT and a couple of others. But I mean, it was life changing. Because in what I do, I now do things differently. I now talk into an audio file, and then I load it into ChatGPT. I follow the steps, and I ask it to make it better. I ask it to improve on what I was saying. I say, come up with 10 actionable tips, or take this story and make it 500 words, or take this story. So for me, I find ChatGPT very compelling. And I also try to get my daughter who's in college to try to use it. So I'm just, I let other people chime in, but that's kind of like.
And I saw Amanda wanted to say something. And I think part of what I'm getting from what Carrie's saying is, this is what we talk about a lot of times when we're talking about our content. It's even if you can show your audience that you have experienced that challenge or something similar, right? Like, for example, Nick and I started Next Gen Podcaster from countless hours of learning it on our own. And that struggle, we definitely struggled with it, like to understand how can we use this thing. And documenting, okay, where are we stuck? What's this challenge? Is this a common challenge? And if it is, that's the story. Is if this is something that a lot of people are experiencing, let's share that story with them first and then show them how we did it. How did we get through that? That's a story. That's storytelling. And Stacey, I see you want to say something too. I see Dominic does. Let's go to Amanda because I saw she had her hand up, and then we'll check in with everybody else. Go ahead, Amanda. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. You kind of touched on it a little bit just with what you said, but I feel like, Nick, for you, I feel like AI saves so much time. And what does that mean for you as a newer father, for your family? It's kind of like the Dyson concept. You get a Dyson because you know it's going to do the job and it's going to do it well. And I don't have to do it again, or, it's picking up all the hair. So I feel like if you tell the story behind the reason why you love AI so much, the way that it saves you so much time, those are easy stories that you can implement into, or even what you did with the time AI saved you. You know what I mean? Each little trick that you learn is a trick that saves time, and it allowed you and afforded you the time to do, you know, X instead. So I think that's a great way to implement story into your particular podcast.
Thank you, Amanda. And Stacy, good morning to you. This is the Stacy, the one that we referred to earlier that happens to be Carrie's business coach as well. Good morning, Stacy. What did you want to add?
Oh, good morning. And yay, Carrie. So I want to talk for a second about AI and storytelling and the caution. As I'm coaching some new people around creating courses, as I've finished LinkedIn Learning and doing another one for them, what I found in, with some students of as they're creating courses is they use the ChatGPT to create their story, which is a great place to start. As we're saying, AI is fabulous. However, what they're doing is instead of using their experience to tell the story, they're letting ChatGPT say, well, one day in a coffee shop, blah, 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 blah. Now that's a story. However, it has nothing to do with what their course is. And so I caution people when you're using the ChatGPT, give it bullet points of your experience and your story that you want to convey and let it create it and improve it for you. But so many times people are using the AI for storytelling and it's not related to what you're teaching or what your lesson is of your storytelling. So I just wanted to bring that out since we're talking about AI. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Make sure it's authentically yours, the story that you're telling. I'm with you. Carrie, did you want to respond before we go to Dominic?
Yeah, I just want to say something. Amanda, you totally hit on it, okay? So a couple things. Brands look to do two things. Generate income, save time. But Amanda went deeper. Like, Nicholas, I didn't know that you're a new father, or if you have a father, you have a young son. So, and if I'm getting that wrong, apologies. But I think what's compelling to me is I want to hear about the time, the bonding that you spent with your son, what you did with your time, that AI saved you time. That, and it's also sometimes starting with the pain and the resolution. Like, the pain is you don't have a lot of time, but AI saved that for you. And what did you do with it? And then what did that mean to you? And if you go into the meaning and the lessons and the emotions that you felt, and what does it mean to your son? And what does it mean to your family? You know, I think that that might even get people go, oh, I have those same things. I'm time stressed. I'm trying to balance my work and life. I'm going to use AI too. And wait a minute, Nick's the one who's delivering it to me. I want to listen to this more.
And you know what? And by the way, it's a daughter, not a son.
Sorry,
that's okay. And you know what this makes me think about too is, yes, what Nick does, what I do, a lot of the stuff we do is educational. And this is the opportunity. Telling your story is the opportunity to create additional content. Yes, maybe your educational content isn't the best place for you to tell a story in some cases, right? Maybe it is just you want it to be them coming in, get their info, and leave. But you can also create content that tells your story, to Carrie's point. We, you know, using Nick as an example, he can tell, how is he using AI? How is it improving his life? What was the struggle? Just a video on that, right? Because then that gets eyeballs on him. That helps people connect with him. And likely then, if they connect with him, they give him a follow. And now they're going to start seeing his educational content in addition to his storytelling content. So it doesn't always have to be built right in to every piece of content you do. There is a place and a time where people just want the steps. They just want the education. So yeah, it's knowing that balance and having that opportunity to be able to create additional content, where I know a lot of us sometimes struggle. What are we going to talk about, right? Dominic, you wanted to say something. Go ahead. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Hope everybody is well. Appreciate the shout out earlier, Kerry. Sorry I couldn't respond at the time. I was making chicken wontons for my daughter.
I like how you slid that in there, Dominic.
Yeah, I couldn't really phone it in the oven this time. So there's that. A few things, and Kerry kind of hit on it a little earlier, especially when we talk about, you know, branded podcasts or podcasts for business or whatever, about the, you know, benefits of it. Saves time, saves money, provides, you know, some type of convenience, this, that, and the other. And so sometimes in our podcast, our listeners are looking for that. And to add on to something Mark was saying earlier about taking you through that narrative arc of, you know, I had this problem and I didn't know how to solve it, you know, and this is how I solve it. I think an important part of that narrative arc in that story is the back end of what the results of that was. Because if I just share only the parts of how I fixed it and now how I felt, you know, when I got that problem fixed, it's almost like the story is a bit incomplete, right? So I think that's also part of that arc. And the thing is, you know, and again, obviously I know a little bit about the educational piece, you know, even though it's information that people need, or maybe even information people want, we still kind of have to sell it a little bit, right? We can't just assume that just because they need it or want it, that they're just going to take it like medicine, if you will. And I imagine when Kerry was talking about working at Discovery, and when I watch, you know, some of those programs, they had to sell some of those stories. You know, they sell it through promos, they sell it through the storytelling, and this, that, and the other. And the last thing I'll say is this, Nick. One of the things that works well for Recovery Replay, which is what Kerry mentioned earlier, is that put me as the listener in that moment of frustration, right? So in addition to just talking about the issue you're trying to solve, tell me the frustration. Tell me about the moment you wanted to throw the keyboard up against the wall. Tell me about the moment where you wanted to whatever, because that makes it more relatable, right? That makes it more whatever. When I pitched Recovery Replay to the Meadows, one of the things I told them, and this was pretty risky because this was during the interview process, I was like, listen, we tell amazing stories, you know, here at the Meadows. Now, obviously, I hadn't started working there because I'm in the interview. We tell amazing stories, but they're always stories of like us walking on the beach, of like somebody in recovery walking on the beach or having a picnic. The person who's seeking recovery can't relate to that just yet, right? So with Recovery Replay, I need to relate to the person who passed out drunk the night before. I need to relate to the person who, you know, experienced that childhood trauma and what that was like. So that way, the person who feels isolated, not really sure how to move forward, is going to relate to that. So even when it comes to something educational like AI, what I tell Kendra all the time when we do the B work, put me in the moment. Put me in the moment of that frustration. Put me in the moment of that aches. And also at the end, share with me the results of what came from what you're providing, the educational piece you're providing. So I hope that helps.
Thank you, Dominic. Looks like it does. Nick's giving you a heart emoji, and that was helpful for me as well. Thank you, Dominic. I appreciate it. We do have other questions, and then I do want to move this conversation along. But before I do, want to say I'm going to share a link. If you're listening live, I'll share it here at the top of the page on Clubhouse. And if you want this and you're listening via podcast, I'll put it in the show notes. This is a link to Heather Parody's Instagram. Nick has heard me talk about her a few times. I've mentioned her once or twice along the way here on the Podcasting Morning Chat. I think she does a phenomenal job telling stories that are related to her content. She does content, a lot of personal development, also business growth.
she, but in a, let me just say, in a personal development, that's the focus mainly. And she interviews all of these different business people, entrepreneurs, and her clips that she puts out to promote those episodes are phenomenal as far as storytelling goes. You watch them and most of the time, at least for me, I don't even realize until I'm halfway through the short that this has to do with a podcast episode. She's telling a story and she's pulling at my emotional strings when she tells her story. She sets it up in a way that I relate and then she provides solutions. And it keeps my attention the whole way through. So check her out, and she's going to be one of our next guests coming up here on the Podcasting Morning Chat. I'm really looking forward to that, so stay tuned there. All right, I'm going to take one more question, and then we're going to keep it moving. DR, I saw your hand come up a couple times. That makes it three. Go for it. Good morning.
I do have a question. So what if I am interviewing someone about their journey, and as soon as I hit the record button, they clam up a little bit. They're not telling the story as they did in our pre-interview. What kinds of questions, what can I say to them to help bring out that story?
Carrie?
I'm really glad you brought that up because I was going to cover that. First, I want to talk about the pre-call, and then I'll talk about what you do in the moment, right? So in the pre-call, I you may or may not do this, but I learned this from acting, okay, and being on stage. So a couple of things you can do in the pre-call to help with that is, first of all, obviously do your research and find out how that person talks. And I do prefer a video call if you're doing a pre-call, so you can see their voice, you can see their eye contact, you could just take a look and get a feeling for their body language of what it might be. Second is, I think you want to let them know, hey, this is a safe place. Like, we're going to be doing a podcast, but I got you. Totally, I got you as a guest. And if it's not live where you don't get the chance to edit, but if you get a chance to edit, you can't make any mistakes. Like, we're going to go through and you can finish what you need to say. And if for some reason, some of my guests sometimes get a little bit anxious and they forget what they were going to say, that's all good. Because I'm recording it, I might bring you back and remind you the story or bring you back of some of the talking points, and I'll help guide you along the way. Don't look at it as me interrupting you. And we'll edit out that other stuff and you get a chance to tell it again. So then, when you're in the moment, and you could maybe send something, you know, like by email. And then when you're in the moment, before you even go on, you do your sound check and your voice check and you get them warmed up. Hey, you know, have you thought about the story you're going to tell? And I want you to be in the moment, just have a couple talking points and go up. And then during that podcast, you can bring them back. Or you could say, you know, when we did talk, you did mention that part about how, you know, you were feeling really frustrated and during that time period. So those are just a couple of the examples that you can do as a co-actor and as a producer of your podcast. Is that helpful?
Thank you so much. Very helpful. Thank you so much.
Carrie, you know, one of the things that I've done and this is one of the reasons why I, like you, encourage those pre-interview calls. One of the things that I do is I pay attention during that pre-call, that pre-interview, I pay attention to what's getting them excited, right? Like, because we're going to talk a little bit about the direction we want the episode to go, and we're going to talk about some of their stories during this pre-interview. And I'm paying attention to what's getting them excited when they're sharing with me. Because what I can do with that is, if I do notice they're clamming up, or even that their energy is just a lower energy than when we first spoke, I'll try to find a way to go to that thing that was lighting them up. And that triggers something in them, because if it was lighting them up before, it's to me, it means they're passionate about it. And if I can get them in that passionate mindset, then all of a sudden, in most cases, they seem to light up the rest of the way through. Go ahead, Carrie.
Totally makes sense, right? Because people like to talk things about they're excited about, right? And when you're excited, you will talk longer about things. But what's incredible about this medium, again, if it's not purely live, you have the power of editing. So because you have the power of editing, you have the power of saying, hey, you know what? That was a great story. I remember you talked about X, Y, and Z, or you could shift them. Do you have another idea or story? So like, and if they feel comfortable and they know you have their backs and they feel like I want to talk a little bit about, if it's okay, Mark, I want to transition to what I've learned about enacting, which I never thought I'd learn.
Yeah, actually, Carrie, if you don't mind, Dominic wants to chime in and then let's go to that. I want to hear more about how your acting does help with the storytelling. So yeah, Dominic, go ahead and then we'll go to Carrie and learn a little bit more about acting.
Yeah, really quickly. And this just really adds on to what Carrie and you were saying earlier, Mark. You know, for some reason, let's say for whatever reason, DR, we can't do a pre-call interview or whatever, right? Also, by the way, I'm in Memphis, 300 miles west of you, by the way. So hopefully we'll be able to get to chat one day. One thing I like to do is comb social media, you know, and I'm glad S Squared is here in the audience. I've been doing some guest hosting for him for the Dripping in Black podcast. And we had a guest recently who initially was kind of nervous and stuff like that. And I realized in my combing through social media that she's from Detroit. And so what I know is a common greeting in Detroit is what up, though? Right. And so we use that, you know, to kind of ease those nervousness and stuff like that. So sometimes if we're not able to have that pre-call interview, right, we can do some of that work in our prep to find out what kind of excites them and kind of switch gears, if you will. So I just wanted to kind of share that a little bit. So
thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Sure thing, DR. Alex, can you make it quick? Because we're running short on time and I want to hear from you.
Never mind.
No, please do.
No, I was just going to, well, all I was going to say is exactly what Dominic said. You want to try to find something that will take them off guard, yet make them feel comfortable. And if that means that it's a greeting or you got to do the research, because I've had that problem too, DR, where, you know, you're trying to pull stuff out and you talk about a topic that they love and then they just start lighting up. And that can also get to where you want to go.
Yeah. Thank you, Alex. Appreciate that. And all right, Carrie, let's talk a little bit about the acting and how that has played a role in the way you tell your stories. Yeah, please take it away.
Sure. So as an actor, I have scenes to rehearse. I have lines to know. And what I learned from a lot of my acting teachers who are on all TV shows and films, and a lot of people have come from there that are, we all know, not me yet. But what I did learn is like, you learn your lines, you have an idea of what you want to talk about it, and then you forget about it. And you literally try to be in the moment. And where the magic comes in terms of what the camera picks up everything, is the emotions that you're getting to, is the reactions to your co-actor and what you're feeding them in your body movements and stuff like that. So like, I'm not suggesting that you're moving around move around your body like when you're doing a podcast, but you kind of have an idea of the topic and then you try to forget it and just be in the moment. That's number one. And I know Dominic talked about being in the moment too. Number two, there's a lot of exercises we do that relax ourselves, breathing in and out, 4-7-8 exercise, meditations. I found out that there's some acting schools that have you do relaxation exercises for 3 hours, which I don't even think I have the time for, but then you go into things. Another thing is if you are on video or you can tell, you can move your body to have better energy. And you can also look, if it's a video, at someone else's body language. Remember, you're serving the audience. And this is a big one. It's oh boy or oh no. Very simple acting improv. at any given choice, at any point, even during this podcast, you can say, or while you're doing a podcast, oh boy, like something happened. It might be taking the podcast in the wrong direction. So you can say, oh boy, this is an opportunity. I'm going to like bring this back. Or you could say, oh no. Here's an example. I totally missed that Nicholas had a daughter, right? I could have said, with some laughing icon, laughing emojis going on, right? I could have said, oh no, I'm going to retreat from this. I made a mistake. Instead, I said, oh boy, that's an opportunity that I made a mistake and it's humorous. I think it is. And I'm going to keep going. So the oh boy, oh no is a really good concept and it works in life. So that's from the acting standpoint. And then Mark, do we just want to end this with like, the future of podcasting or?
Yeah, I do want to get into that. And I want to just real quick, because Yvonne is up here on stage and I want to make sure we get to anything she wanted to share. And then, yeah, I do want to ask you a little bit about really the future of podcasting, but more so in regard to storytelling and where you see storytelling going in podcasting. So first, Yvonne, good morning. Did you want to add anything or have any questions?
Good morning. Well, what brought me up was Dominic's comment about, when he's talking to somebody who's in recovery and you're looking at their end of their story, that it's something that people can't relate to. That is something that I find as something I dig into with my guests, because on my podcast, which is about midlife reinvention, a lot of times I'm talking to people after they've been through something and they've figured it out and they're now on the other side of it. And very often they just want to talk about that success, about how much they learned. And I really want to take them back to, well, what was it like before that? Because the listener is in the before zone and so often they can't relate and see themselves on the other side of it without having that thing, the stakes and the pain points of what that other person went through. And I also try to tune that person into what's now for you. Like, you know, sometimes I like to say, okay, so what do you struggle with now? Or what are you learning about yourself now? So that people know that it's not like you figure it out and it's all one and done. And Carrie, also coming from an acting background, what I related to and what you just said was prep and then trust it and let it go and be in the moment with the person you're talking to.
Yeah, totally. And Yvonne, you actually touched on, there's advanced storytelling techniques. You are bringing that person, Cynthia Domic does, on an emotional journey. You're bringing them back to the beginning. What did it feel like? What did it say? What was that like? Because if you just stay in the end, people aren't learning from that entire, the lessons, and they aren't getting that a total arc of the emotional journey to the end.
Thank you, Carrie. Thank you, Yvonne. Appreciate your insight on that as well. And I don't even know that I knew you have an acting. Oh, maybe I do. I feel like you may have shared once or twice about acting. It's coming back to me as I speak. Very cool to hear. And we'll have to dig into that more at some point. In the meantime, Carrie, yeah, let's talk about where you see storytelling in podcasting heading and any trends or tricks that we should be looking out for or considering.
So I'd say maybe two or three things, because I know we're at the end here. Number one, and I just read this on the marketing Drew yesterday, and I've heard Stacy quoted and a lot of people quoted, and I've seen this in marketing. There is a decline in marketing budgets across the board for about 30 to 40% of brands. But where the increase has been shifting to, yes, Facebook and yes, TikTok, they're looking for creators. They're looking for not just influencers, but content creators. And content creators are podcasters. There's a huge shift in marketing that are going to people that have their audiences, no matter how large or small. It's really important. You could have a small niche audience, okay, but that audience is so loyal that they trust the podcaster. And that is what a lot of shift in marketing is doing. In fact, there is a shifting of marketing even away from influencers, trying to find people that have a compelling audience that is like podcasters. That's number one. Number two, in terms of where things are going, we're at this titanic shift right now. Cable stations don't exist. They're all bought by the streaming companies. So the ability to venture into video and the ability to do that is taking advantage of a new form where podcasters become the new cable channels. And as part of the new cable channels, you can do two things. You can go directly to a brand, or the power of partnering. You can really understand your audience and find other podcasters that have a similar audience, even if they're in a different category. And you can partner together and approach brands and say, we have this incredible audience of X, Y, and Z, and we'll partner up and we would love to do some brand entertainment or some sponsorships. So where things are heading is the truth telling from the person. And I do want to say, like, even at PodFest, there was someone that had was talking about RVs. They were an RV podcaster. They didn't have a very large audience, but they were generating over $10,000-$15,000 a month in sponsorship revenue. So that's where I see it. And we're kind of like back in I think in 2004, where there were a lot of big websites, but a lot of the smaller websites, just like a lot of the podcasters, they found ways to get in and get the dollars.
Yeah. Thank you, Carrie. And what you're saying, I'm seeing in some ways already some of the things that you were saying as far as how much brands are interested and starting to seek out podcasters and influencers, and because they recognize the power of both these creators and the power of working with these influencers. And I think, and let me give you a quick example. Here I am starting a podcasting conference, right? Along with the help of several others in this community and outside. And I wanted to do it, right? Like it called to me to put on my own event because I saw things I liked a lot about some of the other events and some things I didn't. And I felt like I could do this. And a lot of the big name brands don't know me, don't know my business yet. And so when it came time to, well, let's find sponsors, I went in with an open mind and in the back of my mind wondering, are they going to even give us the time of day? Well, as of yesterday, although I will say they haven't signed the bottom line yet, and in principle, Spotify has agreed to be the Empowered Podcasting Conference title sponsor. Spotify. I don't think I even fathomed that being an option. And here we are. And you know why? Because they love our mission. They love the kind of content that we've been creating as creators. When I say we, I mean the people on this committee putting it together. They've seen the work that we've done in the past. They want to support the independent podcasters. And they see that we want to do the same. And they jumped on. Yeah, go ahead, Carrie.
Oh, no. I was just chatting. I was just commenting and saying, congrats, that's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, so there you go. So I definitely agree with you that big name brands are very open to working with the quote unquote smaller influencer. So Carrie, how can anybody get in touch with you if they want to learn more about how they can incorporate storytelling into their podcast?
Sure. So I'm on LinkedIn. Not many people have the name of Carrie Monk. So there's only one on there. I'm on Instagram at Carrie Monk. And I can share my email address, which is carrymunk at Gmail. So it's CARYMU, U as an uncle, NK at gmail.com. And I'll be popping in and I'll be, you know, part of the morning chat and plan on going to your podcasting event. But
not only going,
yes, you can, anyway, please reach out to me.
You're not only going, Kerry, you're going to be on a stage as well.
Oh.
Yeah. You, I think you, Stacy, and I think there's one or two other people. Yeah. You guys are you didn't get the letter? We sent a panel. We sent a letter that we want you on a panel.
Oh, I could just, first of all, this is a great, I think I'm finding out now, but that's amazing.
Well, congratulations. And we're looking forward to seeing you there. Kerry Monk, thank you so much for your time today. And I'm looking forward to having you back on the stages here in Clubhouse. And I can't wait to dig into more because I know you do have more. Like you said earlier, there is a basic framework and then there's an advanced framework. I'm sure we'll dig into pieces of that along the way. Thank you for being a part of the community. Thank you for being here today, Kerry.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Mark. And thank everybody for, you know, making this a very compelling podcast. And I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. And remember, we're doing this again tomorrow, 7 a.m. Eastern, right here live on Clubhouse. You can get a link to join the fun. If you haven't joined us here on Clubhouse Live yet, you can get that in the show notes. And remember, if you can't make it here live at 7 a.m. Eastern, you can always check out that podcast at 7 a.m. Pacific time every Monday through Friday. So until Friday, make it a great day, everybody. Take care.